free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.
My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I'm overjoyed to be with you again this week, sharing more topics around building healthy friendships. Now, I am talking specifically about friendships here on the podcast because though we focus on love addiction and love avoidance here on Black Girls Heal and the trauma that causes it, your friendships are going to be the missing key. Your sisterhood tribe, the people who are around you, holding space for you, your chosen family, they are going to be one of the biggest keys in making sure that you break these cycles, because they will hopefully become your home base or a very significant part of your home base. They are most likely going to be your main relationships that you're starting to practice being open with, being honest with, letting people in, working through conflicts with, being fully seen, loving each other when that other person can't really do anything for you through the good and the bad, and also learning how to receive love from people. Sometimes we wait to try to practice this in romantic relationships and idolize that, but these sisterhood friendships are so key, especially if you have a history of mother wound trauma. So your first relationship in this world with another woman was chaotic, dismissive, hurtful, betraying. If you had incidents between being bullied from other women growing up, or even as an adult, and so there are trust issues there, to be able to find a circle, to be able to find a group of people that see you, that are your peers, that you can trust and let in a deeper way, is so transformative, and it just helps escalate your progress. So one of the ways that you can let people into your heart who are part of your chosen family, your tribe, your friendship circle, or even people who are not there yet, but you want them to be there, or you're not even quite sure if you want them to be there, but you know you want to start having this group healing experience in the comfort of your own city and environment, healing circles are a great way to do that. So in last week's podcast episode, where I was talking about some key things to look out for when it comes to building friendships, the things that usually end up sabotaging friendships and ways for you to circumvent that, I started out the episode talking about here are some places that you can find friendships and places that you can find these relationships with people who are on the same page as you. And one of the places that I mentioned in last week's episode was group therapy and people like maybe healing events and stuff like that. So if you do find people in that context, or you find people who are open to personal development and healing, healing circles are incredible because they are concentrated groups and areas where for a short period of time, you are agreeing to talk through issues related to self-development, related to inner child or mental health healing, that you're looking at, you're intentionally choosing to talk about these topics in a deeper way to support each other and to build trust and give feedback, right? And so I'm going to talk about some things to keep in mind if you want to start a healing circle with the people around you, if you want to revamp a healing circle that you've already had, and also give you some resources on next steps that you can take if that is something that you would like to do. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump on in. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
So like I said, today's episode about how to have a healing circle with your friendship groups or with your potential friendship groups, I'm talking about this because this is one of the missing keys in us learning how to interrupt these cycles of love addiction and love avoidance, our attachment styles, by practicing getting closer with people who have self-selected to be a part of this process. These are a group of women who are also like, you know what? I want to go deeper. I want to heal. I want to talk about these topics. I know that I'm signing up to be vulnerable here. I know that I'm signing up to hear feedback from other people. I know it may be uncomfortable at different points, but this is what I want. And I want to build this inner circle of trust with other women who I know are also going to be self-accountable, look at themselves, and be willing to grow and work through things, right? I first started talking about healing circles back during COVID. COVID, when we were all very isolated, we were very much looking for relationships and being able to connect. And so I started teaching about, if you want to start a healing circle, here is what you can do. I published a workbook on Amazon as well called the Black Girls Heal Healing Circle Workbook Level Foundations. No, Series 1. Series 1, The Foundations. So in that episode, I believe it's episode 55. Actually, let me pause it and make sure so I can actually tell y'all the correct place to go and look. Okay, no, it is episode 56. 56 is talking about starting a healing circle, published in June 2020, June 24th to be exact. Wow, almost 5 years. That is crazy. What is time? And so I talked about this experience because I love the concept of a healing circle because it combines two very significant experiences for me that I know have helped me heal. They combine three. The first experience is just the beauty of sisterhood. When you have those people who that you can just be yourself with, let down your hair, be seen, cackle about anything and everything, that is incredible. When I was in 12-step meetings, so I was fortunate enough, I know this is not everybody's experience, but when I joined the 12-step program for sex and love addiction, I was in program active for almost 2 years. Through that experience, I actually did make some really incredible friends. But even if I hadn't, from the first time I started going to meetings and sharing, being in those rooms and having a concentrated experience for 50 minutes where we all come because we all are here for the same reason, the same issue. We have a text that we're learning from. We are coming with open hearts to hear, to say we don't have to have everything figured out. We don't have to have everything together. And this is my story, and this is where I'm working. And then to have other people say that they can relate and that it gets better, and all of that healed so much. Even when something physically wasn't changed in my environment, knowing that I was not alone was so freeing and so liberating. And that's the experience of a lot of people and why a lot of people go to 12-step meetings for all kinds of things. And so having that experience. And then the third thing combining in is the beauty of being, for me, a small group Bible study. Having that experience, multiple different things were the benefits of that. You know, having instant family, people that you were connecting to based on your faith, on your love of God, and there being like this shared understanding of we are here because we are in community, because we are here to grow together, because we believe that this is what love looks like, right? And then also same thing as 12-step meetings, like we're here with this text, the sacred text in this experience, and we have a lesson that is teaching us how to move forward and become better people and all of that, and give us a light when there might be places that are dark. But again, we're doing this in a community of fellowship, right? So there might be food here. There might be some after hangout time, but we're coming together with this shared experience where we're also building togetherness. And so a healing circle, in my opinion, in my intention, I introduced it here on Black Girls Heal because I believe that this is something that everyone can experience. I don't think that this has to be limited to certain groups and certain organizations. I think the concept of healing circles is really beautiful. I also understand that not everybody has access to having community groups in your area, whether or not it's related to this. You might not have a therapist in your area who is able to facilitate direct group therapy. And so my intention in sharing the concepts of healing circles, publishing the workbook, and talking about it on the podcast and again here today is to help equalize this experience so that you can know what it looks like, to know how you can bring this to your group of people in your life and build some safety around it. So today's episode, even though I already have episode 56, I really want to emphasize my main tips of what it looks like to start a healing circle so that this can be a safe experience, so that we don't go into this experience hoping for the best, especially with what I mentioned before about having unresolved mother wounds and childhood trauma, or maybe having trouble building relationships with other women, or maybe you do build great relationships, but then they falter over time, right? And so we go into a new experience being very hopeful, only to get disappointed at the end. I want to give you, in the same way as before, but just friendships in general with last week's episode, if/when you start a healing circle, these are some things for you to keep in mind, okay? And this episode is also inspired because I am, at the time that I'm recording this, we are opening enrollment for the Healed and Loved Woman Retreat. For those of you who have been with me for a while, you know that when I do these retreats, they are small group experiences, no more than, in the past it's been 6 people. This year is going to be 8 because I want to have this very intimate circle of healing to where we can all connect, talk to each other. I can teach, we can go deep, and then also have some really fun experiences outside of that. This year, though, I don't want to speak for the future in absolutes because I know I am prone to change my mind. But just with the current state of affairs, the retreat is currently international. It is based in Portugal. But I should say currently, I'm not going to change the location mid-registration unless something happens. But with what I'm saying, with what is currently happening in the world, we most likely will not be having another international retreat, though I love to travel. And I hate to say that, I will be paying close attention over the next year and some change to see if this is something that we can do again. So in the case that this is our last international retreat for a while, I wanted to make sure that I am sharing this experience so that, again, people can have their own experience of this in your own home and in your own circles. And then for those of you who can and are going to join me in Portugal, I look forward to seeing you there. It's going to be so much fun. In addition to the normal 3 days worth of teaching, we plan on doing some dolphin watching, wine tasting, visiting grottos, doing all the beautiful, luxurious stuff that you can do at these places or in this type of experience, because it's really about self-care, sisterhood, and healing, and making sure that you get the life and relationships that you want. And me being able to take 3 to 4 days worth of time to know what it is that's bringing you here to this place and to teach you everything that I know how to teach you on how to make things different for yourself, going back and to learn how to celebrate yourself and to love yourself and to love those around you. So with that said, with this episode being sponsored by the retreat, for those who are interested, if there are still spots available, you can register by going to blackgirlsheal.org/retreat and see more about what comes with the weekend and all the places we're going and the agenda and all of that, and save your spot while they are available. So let's talk about it. 3 things. As always, it's going to be 3 things that for you to keep in mind when it comes to starting your healing circle. So I'm going to jump into assuming that you already have people that you want to have a healing circle with. I would not suggest that you have less than 3 if you can. And I suggest that you do not have more than 8. 8 is pushing it. I think 4 to 6 is the sweet spot. The reason why I suggest for you to not have less than 3, because then that's just you talking with one of your girlfriends, which you absolutely can do. You absolutely can do the steps I'm about to tell you for the rest of the episode with a really good girlfriend and person that you want to connect to. But when you have 3 or more people, you have a little bit more space to hear multiple perspectives. There's not as much weight on one person to always give feedback and to always know, but have the pressure of feeling like they need to know the right thing to say based on what you share. And it just makes the experience a little bit more expanded and a little bit more interesting. And especially if you are in a healing circle because you're wanting to get to know people and build friendships and build community, then this gives you an opportunity to see there might be some people that you do click with a little bit more once you learn more about their values and their backstory and how they see the world. And so it gives you more variation, which may be really good for the learning environment in itself. Okay. So I suggest that it is 2 to 3 people. When it comes to healing circles, you're going to hear me say in this breakdown as well that I suggest that you have a curriculum. I'm going to say why I suggest you have a curriculum. But with that said, I suggest that it's not more that as short as 4 weeks, but no longer than 12 weeks. I think a sweet spot for a commitment time is 6 to 8 weeks. I say 6 to 8 because it is long enough to where you have enough commitment, where especially if you're meeting every week, or maybe I should say 6 to 8 sessions, but I do think 6 to 8 weeks of time If you're able to meet every week to do a healing circle, which is where you take a topic and you share about how it applies to you, next steps you want to take, what it brings up for you, and other people give you feedback and advice based on what you have shared, if it is something that you're looking for, I suggest you do that for no more than 6 to 8 weeks so that you have the space to build momentum, right? Especially if you're a newer group or if it's people that you have known for a while, but y'all have never gone this deep before. You know, you've known each other for decades, but you've never really exposed yourselves in this way. Instead, your deepest, darkest thoughts, right? Without covering them up with some flowery language to give yourself that time to build that momentum. But also you don't want to make it so long because especially if someone is in the group who has commitment issues, who doesn't like to be tied down, someone who may be busy, you do not want your healing circle to be seen, even if it's subconsciously, as another commitment, as a burden, as an obligation. It's going to ruin the experience of the people who are in there feeling like they have to be there. I said I was going to do this thing. We've been going on with this for 4 months now. I really would like to be freed to do something else, right? So that's when people start to get sick. You can't see my air quotes. People start to get sick. They have something that comes up. They start to say that they need to just drop out for the day or long term for mental health reasons, right? So this is a circle that you're starting for mental health reasons, but because it is triggering this need that this is now work. And there's not freedom in it. It's not something that they've chosen to do. It's something that they feel pained to do. Then it's offsetting what the original intention was, right? So I think 6 to 8 weeks is the sweet spot. I think 4 is kind of short just because right when you are probably starting to get really good and you're starting to really like what's going on and like the cadence that you're having, now there's an interruption. Now you need to have a conversation about whether or not you're going to continue to do the group. And if so, on what day and what's the next curriculum and what's the next topic? Okay. 6 to 8 weeks is my suggested time. But if you want to go up to 3 months, then I think that would be great before you start a new curriculum that you are working through. You also see this for those of you who are within the Christian healing or Christian learning space. Most Bible study groups, this is exactly what you see. It's like, what, maybe 6 to 8 sessions, 10, maybe, depending on the Bible study or devotions that you're doing before those reasons, so that you can have time to go deep in a topic and then move on to something else. So I really like that approach. So on tip number 2, I'm going to share more about finding the right curriculum for your group. But before we can do that, tip number 1 is foundational because this is where I very much suggest for you to set ground rules for your healing circle. Tip number 1. Set ground rules for your healing circle. Ground rules are a set of standards, of expectations that y'all are going to have when it comes to the cadence of the circle, how you're going to handle the agenda, who's going to be in charge of keeping time, how you're going to get feedback, which I'm going to talk about more specifically in tip number 3. But here's the reason before I give you some suggestions for ground rules. Here's why this is really important. You are coming together, even in the best of circumstances. Let's say that everybody is securely attached, right? They had family systems that were filled with people who constantly affirmed them. Their families talked openly about what's going on in kind and respectful ways. People modeled assertive communication versus aggressive communication. They were celebrated both when they were doing something well and just for being who they are. They never felt like they had to earn love. You know, all that stuff, right? They always had all the resources that they needed. Even with all that, you coming together, you will still have moments where you might overtalk each other, where the ways that one person learned how to communicate in their family and in their neighborhood, even if you're from the same background, is different than the other person's. What some people think are normal, common expectations when it comes to communication and asking for feedback and support is not what the other person or other people in a group are used to. So if you do not have a set of standards and guidelines to help you have your most productive conversation, you are going to trip all over each other. Now, that is in the best case scenario, right? With people who are securely attached. Now let's imagine and just consider that we have people with all types of insecure attachment styles coming together within this healing circle. That's most likely while they're here, right? While they're looking for a safe space to practice getting to know other people, people who are on the same page. They're looking for community. Maybe they've just come from settings and friendships and family and you know, maybe even a bad therapeutic situation where they put their trust in someone only for them to not be available, to judge them for who they are and where they are, right? They feel like they may need to scope the scene. Now we have 4 to 5 women with all of their wounds in the same place, and everyone's trying to see what's going on. And everybody has their own defense mechanisms, and everybody has their own set of expectations. If we don't have ground rules to set the stage, we're going to have a lot of well-meaning people who could potentially have the possibility of being really deep, intimate sisters. And even if you're not best friends, sometimes you meet people and they're in your life for a reason. And maybe the reason isn't that they're going to be the people who you're getting coffee with every day, but this is going to be your healing circle. It's a therapeutic experience. And so when you come back, when you see them every Tuesday night, you know, these are your trusted people that you can go deep with and take what you learn there to your other friendships, to your family relationships, to your romantic partnership, to your parenting cycles, your parenting relationships, because you're better for having that circle, right? So here are some suggested guidelines and standards. First, number one, that would trigger me. I'm starting with this one because I think this is my trigger when people didn't do it right when I was in a 12-step meeting. In 12 steps, one of the things that at least the meetings I've been a part of is there's usually a timekeeper. So the way that sex and love addiction meetings were set up in my fellowship was we would open up and there would be someone who would read the bylaws, you know, the 12 steps, the readings and all that stuff. And then there would be a leader of the group. And that person is bringing in a passage, whether or not it's something from the basic text for Sex and Love Addiction Anonymous or something that they read recently that really impacted them, something or a personal story that happened. And they get to talk about that thing for 8 to 10 minutes. I've been, again, that part might vary because I've been in some meetings where the whole point of the meeting is for someone to share their whole story and then other people in the circle respond to it. So they might get a little bit more time, like maybe up to 20 minutes, which is a lot of time for some, but basically it's timed. And then after that, everybody has about 4 minutes to share their response to what that person said, maybe 3 to 4 minutes. Again, it varies. And it's been a while since I've been in the room, so that time may be a little bit off. But there's a set person in the group where their job is to be the timekeeper. So if each person, this is to make sure that everybody has equal space to share what they want to share related to what the opening topic is. So if it's 4 minutes, then the person who is the timekeeper does not set a timer for 4 minutes. They set a timer for 3 minutes. They set it for 3 minutes. It sounds so that the person who's talking knows they need to wrap it up if they're not done yet, because they have 1 minute left. And then at 4 minutes, that person needs to stop talking. If the person does not stop talking, it is up to the timekeeper to now be like, well, let me let them finish. You know, they're almost done. And to be kind, to be a people pleaser. No, because the sanctity of the group is that there's equal space for everybody. Because some of us may not be aware of how much we may be dominating a space by talking a lot. Some of us need to learn that boundaries are here for everybody's betterment. So when the timer goes off and you're telling someone their time is up, you're not injuring them. You're not harming them. If anything, you're helping them and everybody in the group because we're making space for other people to share so we can get more perspectives. And if codependency, if people pleasing and all that is something that you are dealing with, is good for not only you to experience learning how to set that boundary, but also for other people to see, well, wait, I can, if I do feel like someone is encroaching in our space or encroaching in our sacred time, that it is okay to do a reminder. And reminders can be gentle. And reminders don't have to be very militant. They don't have to be like someone's being punished because they went 30 seconds over their time. But just you can gently set boundaries because you can all be here for a shared purpose. So that's one example of a boundary.
We hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors.
So I am now a couple of months into my Skims journey as a newbie, and I'm still kind of sold. You may remember how last month I shared how I tried the Fits Everybody collection by Skims that focuses on the best comfort intimates and found them so soft, stretchy, and comfortable. I loved how they fit so well under my outfit seamlessly, and they also came in so many shades. I got several that were so great for skin matching and fitting the vibe of whatever I was wearing. The triangle bralette is still my favorite. It's the perfect shape for me, super lightweight and surprisingly supportive, as I have a lot to carry up here and I forget that I'm wearing it. But it's the perfect addition to my loungewear as well. The Fits Everybody collection is available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X, and you can shop now at skims.com and Skims stores. After you place your order, be sure to let them know I sent you, select podcast in the survey, and be sure to select my show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
This next boundary is where some people may want to vary in your healing circle, especially depending on how your friend group is set up. But I pull from crosstalk and being mindful of it. So in 12-step meetings, there is a rule that says no crosstalk. Ideally, there's no crosstalk. What that means is if I share what's going on with my story, that when the next person goes to share, it is not permitted for them to say, so when Sheena said this, I really related to that. Or Sheena, I don't think that you should feel that way because this, this, and this, and this, because that's not their place to do that. In 12-step meetings, it's all about you are there to share your own story. What that other person could say is there was a person in the previous share or in a previous share, what I got from that share is this. And they talk about their own experience. There's multiple reasons why this is important, but I'm going to start with maybe one that people don't really consider that also happens. Some of us, our defense mechanisms and the way that we avoid being vulnerable is we spend so much time focused on what other people are doing and what they're thinking and what they're experiencing that we don't have to worry about ourselves. So some of us may go to sermons, or we may be watching a YouTube video, or we may have some access to something related to personal development, you know, becoming a better person, healing. And when we hear that, we're like, oh, such and such needs to hear that. And if our defense mechanism is to look everywhere else but us, we may miss that maybe we're hearing that message not to share with other people, but maybe this is a lesson for us to learn. Maybe there's something for us to sit in our emotions about, to look within, and to see if this might be an area for us to grow. Maybe we have so much activation around a topic where we really want to get it out and tell other people about it, because if we actually sit and look at it within ourselves, that there's a big giant mirror that pops up and there might be something that's painful or uncomfortable for us to look at that we're not ready for, that we might feel overwhelmed by. And so learning how to not crosstalk and listen to other people share and become the mother of the group, become the caseworker of the group, become the therapist of the group. It teaches you how to stay off the clock and to make it so that when you come to these spaces, this is about you. This is about you learning for you, for your sake. Your role in this circle is not to be the savior. Your role in this group is to not to be the example of healing and perfection for other people, which many of us have learned to be that, whether consciously or not. This is about you coming with full vulnerability and your own humanness, your own humanity, and taking things in and learning how to receive and learning how to let that armor down and to see places that you can grow and also see places where you can celebrate yourself as well. So that's one reason for not cross talking. The other reason is that can be very triggering to the other person. Again, I'm going to talk about giving feedback in the third step, but sometimes people are not asking for your advice and they don't want it. And they don't need it. Sometimes the best way for you to support somebody is just to listen and to hold space for them. And if you struggle with learning how to tolerate other people being in pain, some of us, the way our codependency shows up is when someone is having a hard time or needing to grow, we need to rush to fix it. And then we are overwhelmed because when other people are in pain, we internalize it and we take it on because our own personal internal boundaries are so bad. And we need to learn that other people's experiences have nothing to do with us, that the other people in our life are grown adults that can and should and will find their own resources to figure out their problems on their own. And if they need help, that they will use their big words, their grown-up words, to ask for help. And if it is a situation where maybe it's a friend that's super depressed and like really needs help, yeah, we can we can not make someone work very hard to get our help, especially if they're incapacitated. But some of us, our main status is to rush in and fix and save everybody. We don't really have any discernment on what it looks like to just hold space for people. We don't even believe that you just being a listening ear for someone is enough unless you're stepping into super save person mode. I'm choosing not to say the other phrase today, you know? And so some of us need to learn how to sit back and not rescue and put on our rescue cape just for ourselves. So that is a lesson that you can get from learning how to not crosstalk as well. And yeah, I already said focusing on yourself. Okay, so those are some suggestions for ground rules. You can also listen to episode 56 to hear more. And then, of course, the workbook is going to have this all laid out, very similar to 12-step meetings. I have suggestions as well about things for you to read at the beginning of your healer circle, just to open it up, to set the stage, to set the intention for what the healer circle will be. A little heads up, I do plan to republish Foundations, that first book, the foundational book, when I publish the rest of the Healing Circle workbooks. I'll probably amend some of the agenda items just to make it a little bit shorter, to make sure that y'all have even more space to talk about what it is that you are there to talk about. But that is my suggestion, and that's where you can find more resources for that in the Black Girls Heal Healing Circle workbook. So tip number two is to have a set agenda or source for your curriculum for your healing circle. Have a set agenda or source of topics for your curriculum for your healing circle. I strongly suggest, and I will tell you, you need to know what you're talking about each week. Knowing what you're talking about each week can also be having it so that you rotate. Let's say there's four people in a group. Each person has a week where they come and they share according to whatever standards you share. Like each person comes and they find a passage that's like a minute or two to read. And then they share for 5 to 6 minutes after that, how that passage has affected them, what they're learning about it, how they're taking it into their life, what's the concern that they have and what they think they're going to do about it. And then that is the share. And then other people can go around the circle sharing their response and how it may impact them as well. I'm going to also give an alternative outside of just kind of what 12-step meetings are, where it's very strict, no crosstalk, and no one is actually giving feedback at all for anything. I'm going to give an alternative in a moment. But just to finish talking about having a curriculum, when you have focus, it really helps the buy-in and the consistency of the other people involved. If you say, okay, yeah, let's get together every Tuesday. We're going to have a healing circle. Okay. Now, for some people, not knowing what's the intention behind it or what the purpose is, it's going to be easier to flake because this is just a hangout. Now, I know that's triggering for some people who hear that, hear me say something like just a hangout. But that's honestly, you might be someone who is like, if I say I'm going to hang out with someone, it is a very real promise and commitment, and other people don't have that value, which is even more reason to have structure, which is even more reason to have this as a foundational component, because you can spend a lot of time judging another person or saying, well, I don't want to be around people who don't see time with me as a commitment, as a personal boundary, which when you say it that way, that absolutely makes sense. But another perspective is maybe the other person has so many other competing things going on. They're so overwhelmed. They are so stressed. They need to know how to prioritize what's going on in their life. It's not that it's not important. It's just they need to sort what's going on. And if this is an open-ended, we may do something, we may not. You know, we're saying we're going to do a healing circle, but there's no real agenda. So maybe we're just going to show up and just shoot the shit for 2.5 hours. Meanwhile, my baby's sick with pneumonia at home. And, you know, I'm worried about this presentation at work, or, you know, my sister is in the hospital and I need to go and support her. Then, yeah, it's going to be easier for me to shift that out of the priority list, not because you and our friendship is not important, because there are so many things that are important. So who's the right person in this situation? Both people are right. And both people need to be able to have grace for each other. And so you set this up for success. You set this up to say, hey, for 4 to 6 weeks, let's go through. This could be y'all are going through a book together. So it's your own personal book club, But instead of you reading a whole chapter every week together, right, somebody picks a section from chapter one that really stood out to them. And then someone is assigned to pick a section from chapter two the next week. And someone is assigned to pick a section from chapter three the next week. You could have it so that someone is a leader, but we also, something that I say in the Healing Circle book, and I think I said in the episode 56, is that there is not anyone in this circle who is the leader. There might be someone who's the orchestrator of putting everything together, of collecting everybody, of offering a space. They might even be the house that you meet in every week, but this person is not the leader of the group. This person is also here to learn, to grow, to share. Because when you feel like you have to be the leader, you feel like you have to be perfect. You feel like you have to be on. And that is not the responsibility of the people here. That is part of the reason why I give so much detail in episode 56 and also in the workbook about here are different roles that you can have inside the group. The timekeeper is one. And there are some other roles as well so that we can split responsibility so that one person doesn't feel like if they don't do everything, then it's not going to happen. This is a group effort. This is a shared experience that y'all are coming together to cultivate and create. So yeah, you could pick a book to work through together. You can each bring your own passages. Of course, I have the workbook that I mentioned like 8 times now for a foundational thing. I intentionally called it Foundations because I go over so many different topics that we talk about here. There's a 12-week book and there's a section about self-forgiveness. There's a section about boundaries. There's a lesson about love and commitment, right? So some foundational topics that come up a lot when we look at healing and self-love and building together so that if you come together with these topics at first, if you did and when you wanted to branch out to talk about other things, you've talked about some really great things to help y'all know where you are, to know how to discuss these things, to know how feedback works for some people versus others. Okay. So speaking of feedback, I am going to tip number three is going to be talking about how to give feedback. But before I talk about that, as promised, I'm going to give you an alternative discussion style outside of no crosstalk altogether. Because what would happen at 12-step meetings is that 50 minutes was very rigid, right? You know, we have our opening readings, we have the main share from whoever is the topic leader of the group, and then everyone else shares, and then that's the end of the hour. And then afterwards, the people who shared something, you may go across the room and say, hey, like, I really appreciated your share. And then that's where you have a deeper conversation about what was discussed. So the real back and forth conversation would happen after that. If that is something that you don't want to happen, what I would suggest is same opening as far as there's a topic and that there is a time to the topic so that there may be some loquacious people in our group who may not know that they talk too much, or they may know that they talk a lot, but they like it and they really don't see. They have not either had other people set boundaries with them around how that might affect other people who also want to share, or that's an area that they need to grow in, honestly. Like maybe they really need to learn how to share the space. I suggest for that to still be timed. But what you can do is every person will go around and share how they feel about what the person shared, how it relates to them, what they're taking from it, and end it with, here's where I'm going to go with this after tonight's group. What I need from the group is, and this is where you share, I would love for the group to share with me some validation about what I'm going through. Validation is letting me know that everything is going to be okay. Or I want feedback about what I just shared. So feedback means I need some advice. I want to know what your thoughts are. And I always tell people in not only healing circles, but also in my coaching programs, you need to tell people specifically what it is that you want feedback about. Because sometimes people will say, I'm open to hear whatever you have to say. I can't tell you how many times, both in my professional life and personal life, until I got a clue. And luckily it was sooner rather than later, but I'm not going to say sometimes I haven't forgotten at times. But once I learned that when people say they're open for feedback, that does not mean they're open for feedback for everything. That usually people have one specific part of their story, or maybe a few, that this is where they're open to you to tell them the truth, or to ask a question, or to share their experience. And anything else that you say is not welcome, or even if it is welcome, that wasn't what they were asking. And they might be very polite and just say, okay, thank you for that, but still feel unsupported. Because let's say they're talking about a conflict with their mom them and their mom got into it. Their mom was maybe calling them names. And so they start to share how my mom has always done this before. And I'm just sick of being disrespected. And I just wish that this didn't happen, but I'm open to feedback. You may hear that and think, oh, well, she wants to know how to set boundaries with her mom. So you go and you start to give her feedback. Well, next time your mom says this, then do this and say this and do whatever, right? Meanwhile, she's not looking for information on setting feedback. She just wants to know how to cope with the type of verbal and emotional abuse she's gotten before and how to feel better about herself. That's really what she wants feedback on. She's not really interested in setting boundaries. So it's up to you to help people know how to support you, because your best friends, even if they've been with you forever, they are not mind readers. You have to specifically say, this is what I'm going through. I really want advice about this part. This is my question. And then give them direction to help support you. Some of us need to learn how to vocalize our feelings. So this is also what I mean about these healing circles are so transformative in so many ways, because there are so many different mini lessons that I've shared just in giving you the feedback of ways that you can learn and grow. One of the ways right now is learning how to express your needs. If you're someone who has never been given the space to know how to tell people what it is that you want and how they can support you, this is a skill that you get to learn so that people can love you better. So that when they do love you and support you, you can actually feel like that was worth you being vulnerable and asking for support. Because how many of us have been vulnerable to ask someone for help with something and they give us their version of help? We're like, that kind of either made it more complicated, or I appreciate it, but you missed the mark. And so you might even feel like, well, that's why I don't ask for help in the first place. Maybe we didn't give them the right direction on how to help us. And that is not blaming you for you not getting the help that you need. It's just a skill that maybe you didn't learn before. Sending people in the right direction to best help you is really good. I think also for those of us, going back to me saying some of us really need to fix and save other people. If you're listening to someone share a really traumatizing story and they're really going through a lot and you have all these opinions on what they should do and what could happen and who they need to cut off and everything else, but they're saying, I just want to share it, then it's about you learning how to respect boundaries and you learning how to not go in and jump in. Because again, some of us, I think all of us actually, have had moments in our life where there may be something that's really chaotic going on. And we may know that we want to change it and that we're going to change it, but we're not ready yet. And so the thing that we need more than anything is just for a safe space for us to feel through it so that we can figure out what it is and what we want and what we need so that we can feel empowered to make the next step. If you come in as someone who's telling them that they're not doing it right and you're bringing in your own tough love, because what's actually happening is, yeah, you might love this person, but you might also be triggered because you can't really see, don't want to see what they're going through, or maybe you have an automatic reaction to needing to fix other people. Maybe you have learned how to be judgmental of what other people are doing and where their gap areas are. And you might have a constant refrain in your head of, I could never do that. You could never catch me. I've said this on the podcast before. I've learned through life to never say never. Almost everything that I've either judged somebody else on and said, I could never do that, or you can never find me, or just like being like so grateful that I'm above that or whatever else, everything that I have my ego in, life has taught me, no. You are human. You are human and you have temptations just like everybody else. And you need to have some grace and some self-acceptance, grace and forgiveness for yourself and for others, because everyone's still just trying to figure it out. And so if you haven't learned that lesson and you live in black and whites and you live in, I could never do that, because I promise you, for some of the things that you've dealt with, there's somebody else who could easily say that they would never do that about what you did. How does that make you feel, right? Don't you feel judged? Don't you feel like, well, they don't understand, they don't have the full context of the situation. It's not fair for someone to judge me. You're right. It's not fair, right? Again, we are all trying to figure it out, and what might be easy for you is not easy for the other person. And so healing circles also teach us how to have some openness and grace in maybe areas that we didn't know we needed it for other people. And depending on the context, you know, because you're not going to let your friend jump into a burning building, you know, there might be some times that you as a healing circle it's time for you. The friend is open. She's ready. And it's time for y'all to help her walk through something really hard and tough. So the healing circle is not being a yes circle, but it's about coming together and talking about these topics and saying where things are hard, saying where you want to move forward, and having other people support you to work through it. So with that said, I kind of actually started talking about tip number three already, which is making sure that you have boundaries around how you give feedback. I suggest in the book, and I think I say it in episode 56, and I'm saying it here, whenever you share in your circle, if you're sharing your own personal experience, you need to say at the end, this is what I need from you. This is how you can help me. I just need validation. I need to know that I'm not the only one who's gone through this. If y'all could just tell me that it's okay for me to feel this way, that would be great. It's okay. Did y'all know that y'all could do that? Did you know that when you talk to your friends, that there's a certain phrase that you want them to say that you can just say, hey, can you just tell me this? Instead of just saying, I'm open. I just need to hear something nice. Tell them the nice thing you want them to say. That is totally okay for you to do. And it's empowering for you. Your friend knows what you need. It also gives him, her, or them information for the next time you're going through, because now they have a resource of a phrase that has felt good for you before to try out again if it fits the situation. If not, then, you know, you can facilitate something else or they can say something else. But it is totally okay to feed people the type of validation and support you need, especially if you're just starting to get started with this. But yeah, I want validation, or I'm really not needing anything right now, but if I do, I'll let y'all know. Or I feel okay with this right now, but if there's anything in this situation that you think I'm not seeing, I'm open to that. I'm open to any part of it, right? You might want to specify that, especially based on some of the contingencies that I was sharing earlier. Make sure you have boundaries on how you give feedback, because you don't want someone to feel picked apart or feel accidentally judged or not seen based on your earnest share. One thing that is also in the Healing Circle workbook is how to work through conflict. So if there is conflict that happens within the group, people who have gotten into it, someone has said something that the other person tried to kind of work through, but over time when they went home and they thought about it and over the week, it's created some distrust, right? And they've gone to the person, even though this person is not the leader, they've gone to the person who's kind of created the group and said, this has been on my mind, because they haven't gone to the other person first, which you should do. Or maybe they tried to go to the other person first and it wasn't a productive conversation. Here are some things for you to do to work through those boundary breaches to try to get to the other side of it. So there are suggestions there as well, in addition to the curriculum, the best practices, and next steps for you to take. I hope that you find all of that helpful. If you get the workbook, in the workbook at the end, it says that we have a Healing Circle directory. We do not currently have one of those. It was closed due to lack of activity and people being able to reach out to other people and hear responses. Again, we're not trying to trigger people with abandonment rejection issues. So that was closed a few years ago when those issues started to come up. I wanted to make sure that we had an alternative that was good for folks. So right now, if you're looking for people within the context of Black Girls Heal, places that you can check out are our events and our workshops, both virtually and in person. Of course, the retreat is one great place to meet folks if you're interested in that. Also, outside of Black Girls Heal, if there are any Healing Circle Facebook groups or Healing Topic Facebook groups, if you go to any workshops or seminars and you're starting to connect with people, if you're part of a real life in-person book club around personal self-development, you can find people there. Even though I am anti-work besties, like work besties outside of real life work besties, just because work is work. And at the end of the day, people are going to prioritize themselves. For those of you who you really do feel like you have a really great relationship with people that you work with and they're into the same things that you are, this might be a really good activity for you to do together. Also understanding that this person is a corporate relationship. So just being mindful. Well, actually, maybe it's not, because what I'm about to say is be mindful of what you share and everything. So yeah, maybe work besties aren't the right people. Unless y'all are in a different department where your roles do not touch at all. Like if one person drops the ball, it will not directly affect your bag. If you have a work bestie where that is the case, go forth and prosper. But just being very intentional about where you pull people to start this process with is really important. I know people who have done this, you know, maybe they didn't have three people, but they did it with their mom and it was really beautiful. They got the workbook and they did it with their mom, or they did it with their friend group circle. Pick and choose who's the right people Also being mindful of, I've had many episodes since I published the How to Pick Partners workbook, or How to Pick Partners book, which also has a workbook as well, where I've talked about the different levels of availability. You might pick people that you thought were super available and were open to going deep. And throughout this process, you find that these are folks that are either not ready to or don't want to go past superficial levels. They might be someone who say they start off very committed and then they do start to flake off. They do start to not show up or try to skirt talking about themselves, right? You can talk with them about how this may be impacting the group, impacting your experience, impacting, you know, seeing if they're actually committed to it, but also understanding that their diversion is more to do with where they are and it doesn't have anything to do with you. That may feel very hard, especially because you may have done a lot to open up, to invite this person to see this part of yourself and to be someone that you were ready to trust. And so that type of heartbreak is hard, because it's hard to explain to other people. You were the person I wanted to be vulnerable with, and then you changed your mind. That in itself is a mini abandonment rejection wound, but it's still an abandonment and rejection wound. So I'm bringing up this resource about how to pick partners, the book, the scale, the availability scale and everything, because I want to normalize to you that there may be, as you are healing and growing, you may find that there are some relationships that are your best friend level relationships that are worth you investing in. And there are some people that you might need to downgrade into a lower level of intimacy. That doesn't mean disown them. It doesn't mean go no contact. It doesn't mean defriend them. Some people you might need to. Some people are your frenemies and your ops, and you're going to have the eyes to see it. And over time, you'll see it. But some of them just may be people that you really wanted to be your best friend, but they don't have the capacity to be that for whatever reason. And so maybe they can be a close friend or a casual friend or an acquaintance that you may see and still hang out with, but is not someone that you're really going to go deep with because it's not mutual. And that's okay. All right. So many resources for you to check out. The How to Pick Partners book by Sheena Lachey is also on Amazon. So you can check out both of those. I am working on trying to get it on Ingram Spark. I'm having issues with like the cover image and stuff. No, I will announce on social media and via our email list when it is available at all the other booksellers as well. And also, I'm sure I'll mention it here on the podcast. So that is it for now, y'all. We filled up almost the whole hour. So hope that you found this helpful. If you're able to start your own healing circle, let me know. And I look forward to seeing pictures if you tag me in pictures, and let me know your testimonials about how this may have helped you go deeper, maybe with friendships that you already have, and move to a different level. That would be amazing to see. So that's it for now. I'm sending you all so much love. And as always, I will see you in the next episode. And I look forward to welcoming our 2025 Portugal Healed and Loved Woman Retreat cohort this November. We're going to have an amazing 4 to 5 days together, and I can't wait to see you there. Register by going to blackgirlsheal.org/retreat. And that's it. As always, take care of yourselves, and I'll see you next time.
Free audio post-production by alphonic.com.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.